On today's episode of On.net, Todd from the Track.js project is going to be talking about his experience, unfiltered, about using .NET Core. Let's see what he has to say. Welcome to another episode of the On.NET show. Today we're doing part two with Todd. Last time we talked about how he deployed ASP.NET Core apps on Linux. And now we're going to talk about his experience of using .NET Core and, you know, whether that was a good idea. Thanks again for being on the show, Todd.
Thanks so much for keeping me around.
Yeah. So let's just like dive straight into it. Any regrets? Let's see. What do we want to cover? It should be, what did you like about using .NET Core, doing a real project on it? What surprised you in a positive way? What surprised you in a negative way? And what are the things that it's like, I really want this changed?
All right.
Tell us the things.
I can do those things. All right. So what was surprising Let's put the headline up first. Do I have any regrets? No. I think .NET Core worked great for us. It was a good move for us. I have no regrets, no problems with the overall decision. There was no other alternative out there available to us that would have fit our needs quite as well. Things that worked particularly surprisingly well for us was around packaging, which is what we talked about in the last episode. The ability to take our .NET Core application and package it down to a single file and not need to worry about deploying a framework to our servers or getting the runtime up and going, just having a file and putting it there was so refreshing and nice to not need to worry about this on both sides of the deployment. Maybe some of the things that were a little frustrating is the overall ASP.NET Core kind of stack seems very married to the idea of dependency injection. And everything is based on the idea that you're absolutely going to be running one of these DI containers, and you're absolutely going to want to inject all of these things with middleware. And I frankly don't want to do any of that. We tend to keep our ASP stack like really thin and try not to do a bunch of stuff in that layer. We try and do as much as we can in our lower layers and don't want to do a whole lot of mixing. We have a lot of just static classes that, you know, talk to each other in very simple ways. And by having that really simple architecture, the dependency injection ideas kind of get in the way. And we end up like kind of roundhousing around how ASP.NET wants to work with middleware. I really love the concept of middleware taken from, you know, Node.js and Express, but we don't use any of it in .NET Core because it seems to be forced down the idea of dependency injection to make any of it work.
Okay. Those all seem make sense. I guess that was like your absolute favorite and kind of your least favorite. How about a few things in the middle?
Link continues to be amazing. Every time I leave, you know, .NET development for JavaScript and then come back, and it's so amazing the tool chain. It's so good that I don't know why it's not a default using in the classes anymore. Like when you create a class, it used to just be like, you're using Link. Of course you're using Link. Why wouldn't you use Link? And now I'll like just start typing something. It's like, I don't know what map means. I don't know what where means. I'm like, oh, using Link. It's like, what? I don't know why it's not just there by default anymore.
That's right. Both, so that's both a really good. You're the president of the fan club.
I don't know if I'm the president of the fan club, but like, I definitely love Link a whole lot. Maybe on some slightly annoyance side, there does seem to be a bunch of, my partner on Track.js calls it cheese moving. Like things seem to have been rearranged in MVC where like they're all still there. They all still do what they used to do, but they're all in slightly different places, like how route values work and how temp data works, and like just a bunch of things that moved around slightly. And it's just a little irritating that it moved without necessarily a solid change in behavior.
Yeah. Yeah, just to be super clear, I'm not here to defend any of this. I just want to provide one tiny piece of information there that you may or may not know, which is in some cases, there was needed to be some cheese moving to break dependencies. So in some cases, like you had a particular property exposed in a place, but it was exposed too low. So as a result, it like caused this whole dependency chain to exist. And if you moved it to a different place, then you didn't have that problem. And so what it enabled is for people that were using just low level APIs, then they didn't need to bring high level APIs with them. And like, you know, I saw you, obviously you're using self-contained and trimming. Well, that helps a lot for that scenario is, just breaking API dependencies. So that's one that when ASP.NET Core and also .NET Core was first introduced, that was at least one of the design considerations at play. So just FYI, that doesn't change any of your feedback to be like,
that makes a lot of sense. And I totally get it. I'm only just sharing that, like, that was a point of friction, like going from old .NET into new one, like, we'd be off and running and like you'd get 80% of the way there, just like going from muscle memory and like, here's just how it works and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden it's like, that object isn't there anymore. Or it's just, where is it? How do I get it? I used to be able to access this thing and now I can't access this thing anymore. How do I get access to this thing? Yeah. And that's just a point of frustration, but an understandable one if it needed to move for other reasons.
Right. So that all makes sense. So, one of the things that people talk a lot about, certainly our team talks a lot about, but we also hear it from users, is performance is better with the .NET Core, ASP.NET Core versions than .NET Framework. Have you seen that?
I confess that we have not done extensive performance testing on that. We performance tested request metrics and with the project that we're using this on, and it is blazingly fast and I have no concerns with performance at all, but I confess I did not do like a head-to-head comparison of if we'd written it on both sides.
Okay. Just a question. Makes sense. But yeah, right. But no cause for concern on the performance side.
No, none at all. None at all.
Yeah. Another thing I'll share with you is, which I think is super related to the work you're doing, is we have an epic that we're working on around P95 latency, which is presumably up your alley.
It absolutely is.
Yeah, so that'll be something. It'll be interesting to see once people start adopting 5.0, if you can see some improvements in P95, P99 latency, because we're working on it.
And what are you seeing are the causes of those P95 latency?
It's little things or big things across the whole product. I mean, it's GC runtime libraries. It's basically the most low level parts of our product that where there's like lock contention those kinds of things.
People who just hit it at the worst possible time in the worst possible way.
It's the sort of thing where it's difficult for a user to rewrite their code to avoid some of these things. So if we can just change them, then it just removes the whole conversation.
For sure.
Okay. Well, I think maybe this was pretty good. I really just wanted to get your feedback on kind of the highs and lows from your perspective, obviously.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks for, taking the time out just to do another quick video to give your feedback on the product. I think people really appreciate the, genuine, sincere viewpoint and, unfiltered. Before we did this, I told you, no filters, right?
Yeah, no filters, no infomercials.
Yeah, exactly. So so that was good.
One of the videos that it'd be useful, might be illustrative, is one of the videos on building request metrics, which is the video channel that we created talking about all the steps that we've gone through in building the request metrics products. One of the videos is a short that one of my team members did all about parsing query strings. And it was an in-depth look at how it used to be and how it is now and why how it is now is not good anymore. And that might be a good pointer of like maybe one of the pieces of friction that I didn't personally experience with it because he worked on that bit, but some frustration that he had with the new way of doing things.
Yeah, we could totally link to that. Okay. Thanks for taking the time. This was awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, this has been another episode on .NET. This has kind of been more of a product feedback session, which I don't think have done before. So this is a nice change. Okay, thanks for watching.